This week's episode of Still Entitled is brought to you by VideoBlocks. VideoBlocks has a great value with an unlimited download model. Choose from a library of over 115,000 HD video clips, After Effects templates, motion backgrounds, and cinemagraphs. AudioBlocks also has over 130,000 music tracks, sound effects, and loops. On average, subscribers pay less than a dollar per download over the course of a year. And with their premium content, you get a great variety of time lapses, aerials, U.S. international locations, slow motion, nature shots, and more. Everything is 100% royalty free, even if the subscription is canceled. You have unrestricted usage rights on personal or commercial projects, and you keep what you download and maintain those usage rights forever. Now, VideoBlocks is offering our listeners a year subscription to both VideoBlocks and AudioBlocks for just $149. This is $100 discounted for our listeners only. Get your subscription today by going to videoblocks.com/stilluntitled. That's VideoBlocks, VideoBlocks.com/stilluntitled for this exclusive offer. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Still Entitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
You clipped a little there just for a second.
I think it was just my voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's,
maybe your voice is changing?
I do.
Hitting puberty?
Well, you know, I've been going to see the doctor.
Yeah, the camera shoved down your throat last time.
That was a while ago, yeah.
That was a horror show. I showed that to some people.
Yeah, it's my favorite party trick now. It's like, hey, you want to see with vocal cords?
We talked about this already, right?
Yes.
Did we?
Yeah. Yes, you showed right before we recorded the podcast, you showed Adam a photo of your vocal cords, which are gross.
It's very Giger-esque, right? It's like
it's something else. It's more like a racer head than Giger.
Well, the way the vocal cords fold out into the triangle and you can look down the trachea and
And it's all fleshy.
It's fleshy and there's mucus everywhere and they're slightly inflamed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope people are listening to this on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. Enjoy your turkey, guys.
Enjoy. Because what happens around a Thanksgiving table but lots and lots of talk?
Now, I don't know if you're saying that facetiously.
No, I'm actually thinking about the fact that, look, the elephant in the room is that this country is very divided right now. And I don't mean white and black. I mean people who, or whatever other delineation you want. I mean very specifically, half this country is really happy about who just got elected president, and the other half is not. And those two halves are likely to meet across the dinner table this week.
I'll go ahead and say I have never been... I love my family dearly. They're in the East Coast. I grew up in the South. I have never been more glad that I live 2,500 miles away. And for me, San Francisco Thanksgivings are always about friends, not family.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
So, we have a couple of longtime friends coming over, some former coworkers, some people bringing their parents.
That's great.
This year.
But if any of those people want to give up their Hamilton tickets because they don't want to support it anymore, I'm happy to take them.
Boycott Hamilton, I say.
I got my delineation for my SHN Hamilton tickets.
Me too.
The day I finish my tour, my 40 city stage tour on April 10th, my tickets are for April 11th.
Wow.
And I'm like, screw it, let's do it. That'll be a great way to come home.
Yeah, what do you have to look forward to more?
Yeah, exactly. So I was just going to say, if you're sitting across from going to see your family is one thing all people learn early in their early adulthood is that going to see your family, even if it's far away, is not a vacation.
No.
It's a lot of work. And as a therapist of mine once said, your family aren't people who push your buttons. They installed them. And you know, emotions are going to run high because they're already running high. And I guess I want to exhort anyone listening to just realize that, you know, the person across from you, you might disagree with them vehemently, but they're just a person and they have they suffer just like we all do. And ultimately, you know, we do want to have a better world for our kids. And many of us just have varying, widely different ways of how we think that's going to be possible.
Some people, it would be really nice if it's a lot warmer and we all have water wings and gills. But other people, you know, want to elect a fascist. So it's all good.
I'm trying to be tolerant, Will.
It's all I can do.
I'm voting for the Mariner. Yes. Kevin Costner's Mariner.
I totally went Aquaman for that one, man.
I'm going to go see relatives down in Los Angeles for, I'm going to see my sister down in Los Angeles and her family on Thanksgiving. And we also have, my in-laws are up in Portland, and we'll see them over Christmas.
Ah.
Yeah.
I'm going over to Indiana tonight.
Oh, you're meeting, going to see the in-laws.
Going to see some in-laws.
Oh, boy.
In the Midwest. I've been to the Midwest.
Norm?
Not really.
You, Norm, when, all I remember is that when we went to Texas once for a shoot, we were driving through what I would describe as a fairly normal part of suburban America. And Norm looked around and saw, man, it's a lot of strip malls, isn't it? And I said,
welcome to America.
Yeah. And he said, I don't know how people live here. It's like, well, it's the same as you and I do. They go to work, they eat food, you know, they enjoy more barbecue here maybe than we do.
It's all related through the lens of pop culture. Oh, this is a lot like The Walking Dead.
Are you going to the land of soda or the land of pop?
Pop.
I think Indiana
is pop. Yeah. I grew up, the West Coast is the land of soda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's those soda pop people. I don't know where they live.
See, I'm from the South.
Who so say soda? Who say soda
Coke.
Pop?
Right. If you mean Pepsi. Coke.
Right.
That just totally amazes me. What do you want? Coke? What kind? Sprite?
Yeah. 7 Up. You know, they can tell when you
That's
order Sprite.
Full brand
off.
Awareness.
Right. You know what they call Sprite in Australia?
What?
Have we already done this?
No.
Lemonade.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they not have lemons? What?
I'm sure they do. But when you order a lemonade in a restaurant, you're getting a Sprite.
Wow.
Oh, what for if you your order brand to be so strong that consumes other like things.
Right.
Who's your favorite superhero? Superman? Which Superman? Oh, Batman.
Green Lantern.
Nobody says Green Lantern, Adam. Nobody says Green Lantern.
I just like Ryan Reynolds.
Did you see? So I watched Deadpool finally.
Yeah.
Which we haven't talked about.
No.
But I watched it twice, once on a plane and once on a laptop, because you know that's my life now.
Yeah.
And I really didn't like it on the plane. And the second time I watched it, because I was sitting around and I was like, well, I'll just put Deadpool on and go to sleep. I was thoroughly entertained.
Oh. I was partially entertained. I watched the first half of Deadpool, and then I felt too old for Deadpool.
Yeah, that was exactly how I was sitting on the airplane. Okay. I was like, I kind of looked around. I was like, is anybody watching me watch this?
When the sassy teenager ignores Deadpool to text message, was that too real?
What got me was the metal Russian guy with, some of the most difficult to stomach dialogue that I had ever heard in a big mainstream movie.
Well, so
it was comic booky.
Yeah,
I mean, it was very, they were supplying a very specific genre. It's just one in which the suspension of disbelief was so far from anything for me. I couldn't really get into it. Well, I get why it's funny. And I laughed out loud a few times, and Ryan Reynolds is perfect casting for that.
8 out of 10.
that opening sequence, the opening sequence with the car, the credits and the fight and all that was so on the nose and well done that I kind of was willing to ride along with the rest of the movie.
Yeah. They earned a lot with that.
That's how they made the movie. They made that sequence first as
Matrix
the proof
style.
Of concept. And then it Matrix became style. Very similar to the what was in the final piece. Have you guys seen Arrival?
I haven't.
Not yet.
I'm going this weekend.
No, we can't talk about it. But
you've seen it?
Oh, yes.
I'm dying to see it. It just keeps on being sold out when I check the Alamo or the Kabuki.
Wow. Yeah. All right. High recommendations. Do you guys watch movies with families or friends on Thanksgiving weekend?
Oh.
Is that like a thing?
I guess we should consider this down in LA on Friday.
We did it.
Go to an ArcLight, laugh at some of those props they have on display.
So we usually go visit.
Sometimes they're right props. They're good props. What?
We usually go visit family on Friday.
Yeah.
But when we used to go to my parents before we moved to California, we used to always go to a movie on Friday because it was a nice way to get out of the house and like enjoy some snow or cold or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I saw Two Towers, I think. That might have been the day after Christmas.
I saw Two Towers. When did that come out? 2003?
Something like that.
No, two.
Which one came out in 03? Yeah. That was Return of the King.
I
took my
one after the other.
I went New Year's Day. I went New Year's Day by myself. And it was just after Julie and I met 13 years ago this week.
Wow.
We just celebrated the 13th anniversary of our first date.
Nice job.
And
congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. We had a wonderful New Year's at the apartment that I had on Richland Street. And the next day, I was full of vim and wanting to move, and she was like sleeping in. So I went and saw the first showing of Return of the King on New Year's Day at the Metreon.
I love
I don't know why I wasted all your time telling that story.
You were hanging out with the projectionist.
This is normal life. I took my... We were at my parents' house, and my sister... We wanted to go see a movie, so we were like, "Hey, let's go see the Lord of the Rings movie." And I said, and she said, "Well, I haven't seen the first one." I said, "It's okay. They'll absolutely do the what happened so far at the beginning of the movie. You'll totally be caught up. It's no
previously
big deal."
Previously on Lost,
and we got in, and it starts with Gandalf falling through blackness.
Yeah.
So it's this old bearded guy with a stick waving magic around and beating a giant fire monster
and then,
up.
And then and crying tiny
been,
people.
And she has been pissed off at me about that for 13 years, 14 years now.
Really?
And she was like, "This is it's like a 4-hour long movie." And she had no idea what was going on through the entire thing. Every time she would lean over to ask, it was a totally full theater. So she, shh. And she was just like, "I had to sit there and wait." And I couldn't like go out to the car because it was 10 degrees outside. So yeah, so she's I think rightfully. I think that was totally reasonable. My bad.
Years and years ago, my ex-wife and I were debating what movie to see, and it was sometimes, you know, it got heated. Not heated, but you know, someone always in couples, I think it's pretty safe to say that one member of the couple wins more of the time.
There's a decider. There's in my a decider. Relationship.
And in my previous relationship, I'm not sure if it was me. I think it might have been. But I was like, "We'll go see whatever you want." And she was like, "I want to see Boxing Helena."
Oh, Christ.
Which is a film.
Have you never seen Boxing Helena, Norm?
No.
Starring Sherilyn Fenn and Julian Sands. It's directed by David Lynch's daughter, if I remember
it
correctly.
It was originally going to be Madonna or somebody, right? In the Sherilyn Fenn role?
Yeah, and it was directed by David Lynch's daughter with his entire crew. So this is what I remember. I could be wrong, but I remember it's like Lynch's art director and his, you know, DP and production designer and all that. So it looks good. And it's about a guy who falls in love with the girl and he becomes obsessed with her and slowly starts chopping parts of her body off because he's a doctor.
Well, he has to do the legs first because of medical reasons. And then the arms,
so
he just
patient.
Does because she hits him.
Right.
It's real dark.
It's really dark.
Is it a playoff as a rom-com first
it's just dark and weird.
It makes Misery look really upbeat and charming.
So what does she end up as?
And it takes you, here's how it ends. Spoiler alert. I'm about to spoil one of the worst movies ever made.
Okay.
Oh, it's not that bad, but it's
in the end, it's all a dream.
What?
Yeah.
Whose dream?
I don't know if that was
his
dream.
In the end, it turns out to be all his dream.
So was it like, was he guilt-ridden at the end, or was it like, was it a fantasy?
I don't even remember. I remember being so enraged that they decided to just like, whoop.
Oh,
turns
my God.
Turns out it's a new reality. It was ridiculous. And frankly, I got to pick the movie forever after.
Yeah,
that's worth it. Worth it.
It's disqualifying.
Worth it. I'd suffer through that.
I love
that.
Norm doing the cost-benefit analysis. Yeah, I could sit through a piece of crap.
Yeah.
2.5 hours
to curate the rest of... Yes. Easily. Pick any piece of crap.
So one of the nice things about having a kid that requires babysitting is that now the cost of going to a movie is so substantial that we really only do it if we're both in full agreement that we want to go see something. So we'll probably go see the Arrival.
Yeah.
Because that... I'm in for
super
that.
Important.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Arrival, Will. It's just Arrival.
Oh, and then we'll also go see Passengers.
Yes.
Spates.
That's coming. Is that coming out this weekend?
No, next month.
Yeah, it's right before Christmas.
Yeah. That one, I can't tell from the trailer. It looks like it could be really fun or like, oh my God, get me off this.
So I read that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good comparisons because they're both science fiction films that try to have a lot of hard science fiction in the movies. One is more about a romance. I would recommend, if you can find it, reading the script for Passengers before watching the film, and for Arrival,
not know anything about it.
I know the central conceit of Arrival.
I think you'll still enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm really looking forward to it.
I've read the script for Passengers, and it is an absolutely lovely script. It's like...
And nothing,
if you Google
the film will not
script,
be able to take that away from you.
Oh, okay.
Pop up. And it's a lovely... Yeah. I enjoyed it so much. I was crying at the end. I flipped it around and read it right straight through from the beginning. I mean, it's like 40 minutes to read a script, so it's not a big commitment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was blown away.
I will totally read it.
Now, it being the holidays, every year we also talk about gift giving and how...
Oh, wait. Hold on. I know you want to do a segue, but I just want to bring up something that
segue
you mentioned.
Segue denied.
Wow, you read my mind this time.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. The romantic comedy...
Yeah.
Where are they? They seem to have disappeared.
They're on TV.
They're on Lifetime.
No,
Hallmark holiday movies.
I miss a good romantic comedy.
A good 90-minute, 80-minute
romantic comedy. I'm a big fan of a good romantic comedy. Bridget Jones' Diary, Notting Hill.
Notting Hill is so good.
Notting Hill's amazing.
It's kind of a dude movie, though.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, I guess.
Let us know.
Movie star, he spills coffee on the movie star and they end up together.
Yeah.
Well, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Wow. No, there's, I mean, I think the romantic comedy has more evolved to the romantic dramedy. Drama is more an important part of that story than just the romance and the comedy.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that's the right, I'm not sure that's a good thing. I like a good, you know, Bridesmaids.
I think Bridesmaids is a gross-out comedy.
Bridesmaids is much more dramatic than it leads you to believe it will be.
And yeah, and it's almost like the romance part of it is merely functional now, as opposed to a part of the writing.
Anyway, I miss the classic romantic comedy.
Well, send your suggestions, Adam.
I think a lot of the romantic comedies have also gone into like the gross-out kind of
Judd Apatow. Like I Love You, Man.
Yeah, and Bridesmaids is a good example. Sisters, which was kind of bad, but also okay.
Yeah, I couldn't finish it. I watched the first 30 minutes, and nobody loves Tina Fey more than me, but I didn't like that. I didn't like her in that.
It's one of those movies that like I can look at it, and I'm like, this is not a good movie, but I'm enjoying myself.
Okay, actually, the line that I loved is at the airport, she goes, it's the morning, and she goes, can I have just a tiny little splash of tequila? And the woman goes, a shot? She goes, whatever you want to call it.
I don't want to talk about that movie anymore. But,
okay,
but
now, bromantic comedy, you've seen Popstar.
Popstar is great.
Oh, okay.
Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. That's going to fulfill your bromance and comedy.
Okay.
I went into that.
With no drama.
Here's the thing. Expect nothing.
All right.
Are you there?
I'll try.
Okay.
You've still got episode 7 of Westworld to get through tonight.
Oh.
Same here.
We went on a real West Wing bender for reasons that may or may not be obvious. It's, you know,
Westworld.
I said West Wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all the way through season 5 of West Wing now, and it's bad, but it's still better than almost anything else.
So speaking of West Wing, they're finally getting better at the ads on YouTube, or at least that I'm now actually watching some of them. You know, the ones you can click through this ad in 5 seconds.
Sure.
There are some that I'm going past, and one of them is the Masterclass series.
Oh, the Aaron
Werner Herzog and Aaron Sorkin. Yeah. Those look really interesting. Those look really fascinating, and the Aaron Sorkin one is in particular.
Is that the screenwriting class thing that he's doing? I haven't seen any ads for that yet. You must get better ads in it. Mine are always for like deodorant.
Mine are for really smart people.
You know, it's based on your internet surfing habits and what Google thinks about how smart you are.
I searched for how to fix BO one time.
My TiVo thinks that I'm gay.
My Amazon. Somebody, one of the Angela from the Double Clicks, posted a link to a 40-pound sack of Lucky Charms marshmallows you can buy on Amazon.
Oh my God!
Every place, if you go look at that, every place on the internet which has Amazon ads, which is everywhere, all you ever get is marshmallows from cereal.
Wow!
It's
the
best.
What I need is a web browser plugin that four sites at track. Anytime a link goes to there, it opens an incognito window so it doesn't tie to your cookies. Nice.
Oh, that would be smart.
Right? Yeah. And then if you want it to curate, you want to curate what Google thinks of you, then you can hit it for real.
I don't want to curate anything.
Opt out, opt in.
Sorry. So that's enough of my romantic comedy commentary.
Sorry. I just want to talk about Thanksgiving and gift giving because
do people give gifts on Thanksgiving?
No, but
you get the gift of my presence on Thanksgiving if you're lucky.
After Thanksgiving, Black Friday is when people buy stuff, and I use that as a time to buy gifts.
Yeah,
right.
Also a Christmas tree because I think that's the earliest you could buy your Christmas tree.
Ah,
the Friday after Thanksgiving
we bought one of those big fake ones with the lights built in. Boy, it's just really nice for the last 3 years.
Wow. Don't you feel a little sad, though?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally. I mean, I feel like I should spray some pine scent around the house, but...
You know, I used to live on a Christmas tree farm. Really? Have I told you this?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, so, God. Here comes.
My job...
I've heard this.
Norm heard this maybe 15 years ago. This is maybe exclusive to Tested Content.
Yeah. Okay.
My dad, in 1981, when I was 6 years old... We bought a new farm, and it was like 15, 20 acres.
Bought the farm.
But we didn't die, but we literally bought a farm. And the Forest Service would give you garbage bags full of pine trees if you would plant them. It was just a thing that the Forest Service does. Mm-hmm. And they were about the size of a pencil. So you would take a pry bar, jam it in the ground, wedge it back and forth, put the seedling in, the sapling in, and then push it closed with your foot. We did this for a grid of 80 by 8, two 80 by 80 grids of trees, I think.
That's a lot.
So it's a ton of trees. And he thought, well, this is how I'm going to pay for college for the kids. Problem solved.
It's 12,800.
It was trees. A lot of trees.
Wow.
It may not have been 80 by 8. Maybe it was 40 by 8.
And this is in Tennessee. 40 by 40.
This is in Tennessee.
Even though the tree monopoly, the Christmas tree monopoly is Oregon has that.
On the West Coast. It's all regional. Oh, got Tennessee, it, got it. North Carolina. It's usually. So the trick is, people want specific kinds of trees. We were at an elevation that you could only grow white pines. Nobody wants white pines. So by the time we rolled around to sell these trees 15 years later, and it was time for 13 years later, it was time for me to go to college. I had mowed between them every summer, twice a week for a decade at this point.
As you were mowing, dreaming of college and like right, all the future.
Harvard,
like,
Yale, yes. Penn, whatever.
Petting the tree. Oh, you're a textbook I can buy.
Exactly.
The future.
And give me some IKEA furniture.
And every year we couldn't sell the trees en masse, so we had to cut your own farm. So we put signs out on the road and people would drive out from the city into the country to cut down their own Christmas tree. But the secret is nobody wants to cut their own damn Christmas tree down. What they want to do is go out, walk around in the field for a little bit, enjoy the outside for like 15 minutes, and then have some kid cut their Christmas tree down.
And that would be you.
Enter me.
Cut and pull back. And drag it back.
Cut and drag the anywhere from, right. So yeah, yeah, it was great. It was, and you couldn't leave the house because people would cut because it was your house. So somebody had to be there all the time from Thanksgiving until Christmas.
Oh, that's awful.
And yeah, and they would roll in at like 6:30 after dark and be like, hey, can you help me cut a tree? You're like, you don't want to be the Grinch and say, no, I'm not going to help you cut a damn. Come back.
Right.
Daylight,
oh my God.
You jackass.
I'm going to keep you from having Christmas. Right.
I've said I would turn down the time machine because I'm happy with my life. No, I would take the time machine to visit young Will.
To come by a Christmas tree for me.
A Christmas tree and make you cut it down and drag it.
God.
Drag it back. Yeah. Wow.
Were you born then?
No.
No, I was going
to
say.
Was that the rules of time travel?
This was
you can't teleport back to before you were born?
I was born. 1991, you were born.
Okay, yeah.
Quantum leap rules totally apply.
Right, okay.
You could probably jump in and be me.
No.
Oh, boy.
That's the last I want to do.
Oh, boy.
Will has a weird fetish for hentai.
No, I didn't know what hentai was then. There was no internet.
Yeah, but you.
Thanks. I look back on those days with fondness.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
It's the all days you, without internet.
All you had was what the hitchhiker buried in the side of the road.
Yeah, you've woods porn. Did you know about you? Everybody's found forest porn at some point in their life, right?
The forest porn I found was tossed out of a car by the side of the road on Route 9 in New York, and then somebody once left a magazine in the bathroom at the public library I worked at.
Nice.
Yeah.
You'll never forget. See,
no, so
describing
I put that in excruciating
detail.
I put that in my very sweaty sock and worked the rest of a 6-hour shift just waiting.
Broken blisters and calluses. Multiple fronts.
I sweated too much. I rubbed up all the ink.
It's all stuck together.
We can't leave it there.
No. I want to go back to gift giving.
Norm wants to take
because I
want
to talk about yes. I would love to know where people find unique gifts because it's a point of pride, and we talk about every year of not only of finding the gifts that are going to be perfect for your friends or the specific person, but also finding things that that aren't just widely available. You know,
right?
Like
so,
avoid Amazon.
Well,
is your,
and so, you don't have to avoid Amazon, but you do want to avoid something like. It's like if there's someone you're buying a very specific thing for, maybe you're going to get it at Best Buy, but that's not where you're going to browse for the right gift for somebody. Now, I have a teaser for the teaser. I'm not sure the word I'm thinking of, but San Francisco is lucky to have several really great stores, and there's two that I'm thinking of right now that are my go-to gift stores because everything they have is cool. It's really different. You can't get almost everything they have. You can't get it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And the prices are quite reasonable. So one is Paxton Gate here in the Mission. They sell taxidermy. They sell crystals, minerals, mounted bugs, little sculptures. Just wonderful, wonderful, weird store. Some scientific
weird Japanese radios.
Yeah. Some art. There's art there. They have a gallery. They do shows of assemblage and found object art. The other one is a store in Potrero Hill called Dandelion.
Oh, that place is great.
Yes.
They
yes.
have like all sorts of, it's almost
Japanese, like plate, is it the plates and cups and.
Right. But it's not just Japanese. They have some that are also like East Coast kind of, you know, waspy gifts. They've got.
They have a nice paper, like.
Yeah, they have a beautiful book paper, section yeah. With weird books of like, you know, oh, my husband's into, you know.
Hentai.
Golfing, but only in Scotland. Oh, they've got that coffee table book, you know, that kind of thing.
So.
They've got some like French labeled cutlery and pottery. And
you want a cheese board that you can a slate that you can write the name of the cheese on?
A cheese board in the shape of France? Yeah, I bought one there.
Yeah.
Here's what I recommend because not everyone's going to be in San Francisco. Go to conventions, go to cons. We were at a convention this past weekend, Designer
Con. Did
you
get my Christmas present there this weekend?
I'm not saying. Maybe. I got it 4 months ago, Adam. Don't worry about it. But even if you can't go to a convention, what I would do is go to the website and find the vendor list. And more often than not, these days, a lot of these vendors, even though they're small independent makers, will have Instagram feeds. Mm-hmm. And to their Instagram. And after convention, they'll always have extra kits, limited run things of wares, mm-hmm. and buy from them.
Like stuff like Renegade Craft Fair and you were at DesignerCon this weekend. But Ape is the other one.
Yeah, Alternative Press Expo.
Like that.
Yep.
I found the best, like those are a gateway, great way to get something that's a little more ephemeral than something you can order from there.
Oh, Japanese stationery stores.
Yeah. Mm.
The stationery store in Japantown.
And there are two of them.
Phenomenal.
There's a sister
Wonderful
one.
Wonderful for buying gifts. And especially if you want erasers shaped like tiny perfect little hamburgers, that's where you go.
And you know what?
Sushi erasers?
Sushi, yeah, I think they've got those too.
The best thing about those is you can't use them to window shop. I mean, you can't use them as showrooms.
Right.
You know how people complain, right? Like you go to a Best Buy, you go to a bookstore, and people just have their phones out and scan Amazon. You go to these stores, there are no websites.
No, I got a bag
imported.
At one of those Japanese stores one time that looked like it was cel-shaded.
Yeah.
So it was like a messenger bag that those are great.
Hardware stores, Japanese hardware stores, also great for buying someone a really cool mat knife that you don't see anywhere else. I love those kind of suggestions.
They're hard to find outside of the big cities, though.
They are. If you really like stores like Paxton Gate, I recommend the site Atlas Obscura.
Ah,
yeah.
Which will list weird stores in as many cities as there are weird stores in. So it's worth checking your city because the places Atlas, I've often used that as a guide. Like when I'm on tour, Atlas Obscura, I'm checking them. And of course, I'm going to a lot of towns too small for them to have a thing in. But when they've got one, I go there.
Go ahead, Norm.
One last pro tip, and I'm actually really proud of this one. Go to museum stores.
Museum stores.
They're free.
Awesome. Yeah.
You don't have to pay for the exhibit. Go if there's a traveling exhibit or even like the SF MoMA store. Or
art stores especially.
Art museum stores.
Yeah, De Young, the MoMA. Yes. All of those great stores. I love the Museum of Modern Art store in the airports.
Mm-hmm.
They're good for books too. Like you can get books that are special runs of the exhibits and stuff like that.
The catalogs.
Absolutely. Books are one of my favorite gifts to give. When I can find a book that matches the person I'm thinking about, that like, you know, that it's a book they wouldn't go buy, like the MoMA did a beautiful retrospective of Diane Arbus about 10 years ago. That is one of the most beautiful exhibits I've ever seen. And the book is amazing from it. And if you know someone in photography, that's a great gift.
Yeah.
The two things, we always talk about Etsy. Etsy's great.
And Etsy's amazing.
It's early enough now that you can still get Etsy stuff shipped in time for Christmas if you start looking now.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I like is going to rummage shops. Mm-hmm. And looking for things that like you can turn into lamps and table, you know.
Sure.
Like that stuff is really easy to do. It's easy to buy a lamp kit, drill a hole. If you can run a cord down through it and then put the end on, like it's a super easy thing to do. It doesn't cost a ton of money, and it's like something you made for somebody, which is
a
nice.
Great idea.
Yeah.
We'd love your suggestions in the comments.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially if you know Dandelion in San Francisco, and you know other stores like that in other
Flax.
Big cities. Flax is great. We just lost Flax here.
What's in Oakland now?
Has it really
it moved?
What's
with the art stores moving to places that I can't get to?
Where the artists live? Where the artists can
Fort
afford?
Fort Mason Center.
Yeah, I guess you're
sorry.
Right.
Yeah, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, I gotta look. I am. I'm.
You need to put like 6-7 people in your basement. That'll solve it.
Yeah, let us know what where you shop and if there was something particularly awesome that you don't think people know about, because I got to get Adam a gift now.
I got to run, guys.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, hey, my Kickstarter's live.
Yes.
We're 70% as of Monday afternoon, which is awesome. If you want to know more, you can go to foovr.com/Kickstarter.
Give and Will the gift of...
like continuing to do this thing that I'm doing.
Yeah. Yes.
We're also, I don't know, we might have some special Thanksgiving stuff that will help you demo virtual reality to your friends and family when they come to your house on Thursday. So if that sounds like something that might be interesting, then maybe load up Steam and update your Foo app tomorrow.
Brilliant.
Wednesday or Wednesday sometime, probably, if it works. We'll see. Cool. I don't know. If it doesn't, then forget that you heard this.
Follow Will's Twitter feed.
Yeah. Tell you. Bye, guys.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody.